Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that your word is alive and that your word is as relevant today as when you spoke to your disciples on the Mount of Ascension so long ago, when you prayed that high priestly prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, when you prayed that we would experience the love that you have for us, and that we would move out as you said you would, we'd be clothed with the power from on high, and that we would move out into all the world and share the love that you have, the love of the Father to you, and then your love to us. And Lord, that you would be in us, present in us, and that you would move mightily. Lord, we pray today, as we celebrate Ascension, as well as Mother's Day, that you would help us to understand what it means to wait upon your timing, your will, what it means to be encouraged and to understand the love that you have for each one of us, and what it means to be clothed with power from on high and to move in your authority and power, to know who we are as covenant people and to do things not because we have to, but because we want to. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are faithful to teach your disciples those 40 days and then to give them this waiting time, these 10 days to wait for your Holy Spirit to clothe them with the power that changed the world. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, I have to tell you, it is a challenge to take a very special thing like Ascension and to try to put Mother's Day, which is a very important day, and Ascension together. It's so easy to preach on Ascension. It is preachable. I mean, it is an exciting event. And then to try to take and say, okay, how does this apply to Mother's Day? Because I don't think there's any accidents. I think that the Lord has everything planned. And so all I've been doing all week is saying, Lord, what do you want me to take from this wonderful event called the Ascension, where you ascended to the right hand of God? What do you want me to take from this and apply it to mothers? That's interesting because Jesus uses language in his ministry that is often considered feminine, considered to be, again, I want to preface this because I know sometimes I'm not trying to stereotype all women and all mothers, okay? Just going to say this up in advance. Pardon me? I know better than that. I do. But I do want to say that the Bible has a certain tendency where it uses feminine for certain things. And for example, when Jesus says, I'd like to take you and nestle you under my wing, when he's talking about Jerusalem, he's talking about a feminine. And so I just want to say, you know, when we talk about mothers, we often think about encouragers. Those people that were there for us. In my life, my mother was an encouragement. She was always there. She made sure that we got to school. She made sure that we had food. She made sure that we had clothes. She made sure that a lot of the things were done. Now, I know, again, it's not always the same in every family. So please forgive me if I'm not, you know, if I make it, you think I make an assumption here. But I'm telling you about my own experience. And my mother was faithful. She's a great example of a servant and merciful. She always told me Dad would punish me. She always wanted to be the one to show mercy, and she was good at it. But it's interesting because as I was praying, Lord, what do you want us to learn from the Ascension? What really impressed me was what was happening as they're going out to Bethany. It says in the Bible, in Luke's Gospel, as well as in Acts chapter 1, that Jesus is taking his disciples out to Bethany, and he's taking the same route, just for your information, as he came in the triumphal entry. Think about this for a second. He came in from Bethany, from the Mount of Olives, and he in the triumphal entry, remember? He reverses what happened with David when David retreated during the civil war that happened when Absalom wanted to be David's successor. There was a civil war, and so in a lot of ways, he's reversing. Jesus reversed that whole thing, and here was the Son of David coming triumphantly into Jerusalem on the day when they were starting to examine the lambs that would be slain for the Passover, the 4 days of preparation. And here you have Jesus coming in on this donkey, which is what happened when David retreated. His allies brought him donkeys so that he could retreat, and here you have the reversal of that. And then after Jesus dies, rises again, and spends 40 days encouraging. This is where I thought the mother thing came in. Encouraging them, feeding them, appearing before them, showing them the marks. Remember with Thomas? Feeding them on the beach, reinstating Peter by asking him, "What do you love me? Feed my lambs." Showing his power, showing them how to fish. Remember? They counted all the fish because the nets were breaking when Jesus told them to go fishing. I mean, he did amazing things during those 40 days. And so you've got to be a little bit understanding when the disciples, as they're going towards Bethany, say, "Are you now going to restore the kingdom? Because hasn't he been doing amazing things?" Remember what happened at Bethany before Jesus went into Jerusalem in the triumphal entry? What did he do at Bethany? Who lived at Bethany? Mary and Martha and Lazarus. I mean, he's walking towards the top of this hill where Bethany is, and he's basically, they're asking the question, "Are you now going to show forth your glory and your power and bring the kingdom to pass?" You got to be really understanding because, you know, it's hard for us. We're on this side of the Pentecost. We know the rest of the story. It'd be hard for us to understand why are they asking this. We know that the kingdom comes through the power of the Holy Spirit and the church moving out, right? We know this because we're on this side of it. But you got to kind of put yourself in their shoes. And didn't they think that something amazing was going to happen? I mean, here's a guy who raises Lazarus from the dead, goes to the cross, dies, rises again, appears to them over and over again, and as St. Paul tells us in Corinthians, over 500 of the believers, teaches them, nurtures them, encourages them, good mother to them in many ways, right? Provides for them food, provides for them a promise of clothing. He says when he's going out there that you wait, you're going to be clothed with power from on high. That's a nice word, clothed, you know? It's not hard to imagine why, and we've been so hard on the disciples for so many years. I've heard this. I started doing this when I started in ministry, and I used to make fun of them. Because what do they do when Jesus starts to ascend? When he tells them, "You're going to be my witnesses, you're going to receive power, you're going to wait in Jerusalem." And first of all, when he says, "You're going to wait in Jerusalem," I'm thinking to myself, wow. How many of us, after something really exciting, want to sit and wait? Anybody say, "Oh, that sounds fun"? I mean, in Luke's gospel, it says they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And I'm thinking, say what? He just told you to go and wait. And I don't know what it is about our society. Our attention span keeps getting less and less. So for us to wait for 10 days is a long time. And yet he told them to go back into Jerusalem and wait for the power that would be given to them so that they would be his witnesses where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then he leaves. And I've been so hard on the disciples all these years because I'm thinking to myself, he's got to send an angel to protect their eyes. You understand what I mean? The Bible says they were gazing at Jesus' departure. Ever gazed on a day when the sun's shining? Kind of hard on the eyes, isn't it? Ever looked up at something and after you kind of have a blind spot right there when you look down? I mean, it's an amazing story because I think the angels were sent to protect their eyes. Because they were like, "Where's he going?" He just told us we're going to do all this stuff. He's just been with us for 40 days. He's just shown us his power and his glory. He's done all these wonderful things, and now he's leaving? So the angels come and they say, just as he left you, he will return. Go to Jerusalem. Do what you were told. Brothers and sisters, my prayer for us this day is next week we got some exciting things happening. Got a very important baptism. Very important event in John's life. He's going to be confirmed. The Holy Spirit's going to show up big time because it's Pentecost. And not that the Holy Spirit doesn't show up every week. I forgot to even do the welcome this morning because I was so excited about worshiping the Lord and experiencing what he has for us here and the power of his Holy Spirit's presence here. I forgot. So by the way, welcome. But it's amazing to think that the Lord, he nurtures, he encourages, he does all these wonderful things for them, and then he leaves. And he says, go back and wait. But he knows something. This is where I thought maybe the tie with Mother's Day is he knew that eventually they were going to have to move out on their own. They were going to have to move out on their own. And I having had a few of them move out on their own, it's not easy. It's not easy. Because you want them not to make the mistakes, right? You want a detailed message every day of what they're going to do so you can tell them what not to do. No? You're so much better than me. I just can't get over. You still worry. Still worry. Brothers and sisters, it's amazing because the Lord tells them to wait. To wait in Jerusalem and to pray. To wait in Jerusalem for the power that will lead these, the chosen apostles, to turn the world upside down. That they weren't going to do it on their own. And mothers, I want to encourage you today, because one of the things, we're going to have a little video thanking you for all the things that you do, and there are many things that you do. One of the greatest things you can do is be an example of faith for your children, because when they leave, that's one thing that will be eternal. I know you're going to teach them all these good things. I know that my girls are all going to know how to cook. Probably my boys too. They're survival. I know that they're going to learn how to do a lot of things. I know they're going to be sent out with a lot of gifts. But the greatest thing you can do is show them that in the end, we move by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have our strength and our ability to live as God's people, not because of our own gifts and abilities, which are many, right? We move in the power of the Spirit. We move and have our being in our identity as children of God, and we have the authority and power given to us as kingdom people. And so I pray that, especially for mothers, that and for fathers as well, and we're going to have that in June, but that we would spend that time thinking about what is our example of faith. And I don't have to feel like I'm giving you a guilt trip here because you're here. I was thinking about that. I said, I'm going to get in trouble because I'm giving people a guilt trip. I'm not! Because you're here. You're here. And by your very presence here, you're doing exactly this. You're showing your children the importance of faith. You're showing them that it's important to wait on the Lord and let him move us in the direction he wants us to move. To let him show us his love. I mean, we chose the high priestly prayer text today where Jesus talks about the love that he wants the world to experience through the disciples. He talks about the love that not only comes from God to him, but that when we have him in us, the Holy Spirit in us, we know not only that we are loved, but that he loves the world. And that he wants us to communicate that love in what we say and what we do, right? Isn't that a powerful prayer? The high priestly prayer of John 17? He prays that we will be one, and that by being one, we will show forth his love. And I'll tell you something, we will never do what Jesus is asking in that prayer if we're dependent upon our own love, our own generated love, our own generated emotions. Will we ever be able to truly and honestly love as he is praying that the church will love if we're trying to do it on our own? I don't think so. It's a supernatural love. It's a love that looks at the cross and says, he loved us enough to die for us. And looks at the empty tomb and says, he loved us enough to die so that his Father could raise him from the dead so that we could know that we have victory over sin, death, the devil. And then he loved us enough as he ascended to heaven to say, wait, so that you will be clothed with power from on high to be my witnesses. I want to just close by asking you to do something for me this week. Next week is Pentecost Sunday. Thursday was Ascension. This isn't a full 10 days. We shorten it a little bit. But could you spend this time this week waiting on the Lord, praying for Sarah and for John, because it's going to be an important week for them next week, one being baptized, the other being confirmed. Can you pray and ask that the Lord Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit would be present here so powerfully next week that everyone who comes will be touched by the power of the Holy Spirit and will have an amazing experience of God's love? My prayer for us today is that we don't leave here without knowing how loved we are by God and how he wants this love to be communicated with the world. But I'm going to ask you to do something as you prepare. As Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait. My prayer is, will you wait upon the Lord this week and ask him to show up so powerfully next week that everyone who comes to the door will not leave here without experiencing the love and the power of God present in his people and in his church? Can we do that? Because I'll tell you something. The Lord is here. He loves us. He died for us. He rose again for us. He ascended to the right hand of power. And he promises to clothe us with power from on high. And we don't need just to have Pentecost Sunday be that Sunday. I hope it happens every week. But I'd like us to come here next Sunday with a sense of expectation. With a sense of expectation that the Lord is going to do amazing things in Sarah's life. We know all heaven will be rejoicing because Sarah will be brought into the kingdom as a child of God. We know that John's going to have a great time as we're going to lay hands on him and the Holy Spirit's going to show up. But I would ask that you would pray that the Lord would show us the love that he has for us. And that love would flow out of us so that, I'll tell you what my prayer would be, is that he would show up so powerfully that the people in the apartment would hear the roar. I know we got a big parking lot around us, so that means sound could travel. Let's pray that the people across the tracks would hear the Holy Spirit's presence in the midst of his people. Can we do that? Can we spend some time in prayer and fasting and ask the Lord to show up so powerfully that everyone who comes next week, and I'm assuming you'll all be here, that we will not leave here today or next week or any Sunday for that matter without knowing how much we are loved and how, just as mothers, at least in my life, my grandmother, others, have been a great nurturer, a great encourager, that we would be that for people. That we would be that for people. That we would use the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit to move out from this place and do what Jesus said the disciples would do, right? Be his witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem. Where's our Jerusalem? Right here. Judea. Where's our Judea? Pardon me? Washtenaw County, Michigan. Samaria. Not a very nice place, maybe. Columbus. Ooh, I'm glad you said that, not me. Kevin's shaking his head, oh no. Oh, you're going to pray for him? Okay. And to the ends of the earth, Canada. We got some guests from Canada here today, so. Brothers and sisters, it's my prayer that we will just not stand gazing into the sky and say, Lord, where are you going? But realize that he has great plans for us. He wants us to honor mothers today, to encourage them, to be there for them, to bless them, to help them, to be ambassadors of the love that Jesus has for us. But he wants us as his people to know that he wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. He wants to clothe us with the power from on high. He wants us to be change makers, instruments of change in the world. Not because of what we can do, but because of what he has done and will do. Are we ready? Will we spend some time with the Lord this week praying? Will we be excited and enthusiastic when we come next week? Not thinking about how we're going to do baptism, communion, and confirmation all in one service? Paul's got it under control, don't worry. Brothers and sisters, may we know how loved we are. And may we share that love in all we say and in all we do. Because we are his people, his children, the sheep of his pasture. He loved us so much that he died for us, rose again for us, and ascended to the right hand of God for us, and is promising to send his Holy Spirit to live in us so that the love that he has would be shared with the world. Amen.